thank you, Rosalinda. She was not expecting that. But we're flexible here. All right, thank you. First item that we have is the approval of the agenda. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. And any questions regarding the agenda for today? Okay, we have heard none. So let's now move on to, I'm sorry, all those in favor of approving the agenda as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All three of us say aye. And I should note that Ms. Hakis and Ms. Montes are on their way. So that's why there's only Manny, Mo, and Jack up here. Okay, three of us. All right, so now let's go to the approval of the minutes, and these are for the regular meeting in March.
So moved.
Second.
All right, and do we have any question there about the minutes from March? This would be March 15th, right?
Yes.
The only item I note, and it's under mine actually, it's on page 5, it says might consider under marketing, and I think that reference there was would consider under the item of marketing, because as it reads, it looks like might consider under marketing. I wouldn't want to under market this. So it's in the middle there on item 7, page 5. It should be, I think it should be separated. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Steele. Anything else? No? So all those in favor of approving the minutes from March 15th as presented, signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. And now we have the minutes from the March 15th special meeting. And do we have a motion to accept those minutes?
Move approval.
Second.
All right. And and we have Ms. Hakis, welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Here. So any question about the minutes from the special meeting of March 15th? Having heard none, all those in favor of accepting the minutes from the March 15th special meeting signify by saying aye.
Aye.
There's no one opposed, so the minutes are approved. And we'll now go to the public comment time. Do we have any cards, sir? There are no cards, so this is wonderful. So we're going to move right along to program updates, and we have Ms. Grace Ocampo.
Good afternoon. So we had included in your packets a memo from the state regarding the use of CAPE funds. So next week I will be, and these are some of the items included in that. Next week I will be sending an email to inform you about the latest fiscal manual guidelines and as well as the link to this memo. And then due date reminders for data and accountability on June 3, we need a report of the data and accountability expenditure report that will cover from June 1st of 2016 to March 31st of 2019. Also on that day, the final budget revision and work plans are due to LAREC because we need to submit any revisions to the state by June 17th. And then June 30 would be the end of data and accountability fund. So all the funds must be spent by that time. With regards to our fiscal year 2019 CAPE funds, the Q3 progress and expense reports are due in NOVA, and a copy of the executed report is due to LAREC by June 1st. The consortium has to certify this report by June 30th, And June 30th is also the end of Q4. For fiscal year 2020, the CFAT is due on May 2nd. And later on, we'll be having a discussion of, the CFAT will be a discussion item. Do you have any questions?
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. And next we have Mr. Asturias with some information discussion items.
Yes, thank you. So if I can ask you to go to page number 22 of the handout, please. Basically, we are trying to define the dates for our board meetings for next year so that we can start working on our calendar based on those dates as well. The LEREC office and I took the liberty of entering some recommendations based on our previous history. Generally speaking, for the last 2 years, I believe, we have not had a board meeting in July. Summer break makes it difficult for us for all of us to get together. In August, it's always tricky, but we have traditionally held a meeting in August. As you can see, the date, which by the way is usually the third Friday of each month when we try to have our meetings. On this particular Friday, we have four districts that are not in session, and so we may want to consider moving that date to the following week, in this case, which would be the 23rd.
So I guess, a first question for LEREC staff and then maybe to my colleagues. So I know we've been meeting monthly, and I'm wondering, would there be a reason why we couldn't meet instead of monthly, kind of schedule quarterly meetings, or is there a compelling reason why we really should be meeting monthly?
So, I'm sorry, Dr. Miller, it seemed like you were about to say something.
I was just going to comment that if not quarterly, maybe every other month, if that was appropriate given the scope of the business that we are transacting these days. So that might be a way. I was going to comment that I won't be here on August 23rd. I'll be out of town, but... do we need meetings in the summer at all, July and August, or can we defer and go from June to September?
All right, so right now, off the top of my head, I don't think that we have any pressing issues. Generally speaking, we may have some reports that need to be approved, and we can certainly handle that offline. And then we can always inform that we have sent information to the state, so on and so forth. So, historically, we started doing monthly meetings, and subsequently, we moved to quarterly meetings. When we had the quarterly meetings, it seemed that we were not meeting often enough, so perhaps maybe every other month may be an appropriate length of time for us to try out and see how it goes. You have always been very flexible in terms of if we need to have a meeting for approvals or that sort of thing. You have always allowed us the time to do that. So I think that if we can continue to have a little bit of that flexibility, we can move on to a schedule of every other month.
That would work for Montebello Unified every other month.
That would work. I'm looking at what you did here, and by the way, thank you for this. This is very helpful. Mm-hmm. If we're not going to meet in July, I get that. And so if we go every other month and start in August, it becomes problematic because we don't have a meeting in December. So then we would be meeting in October, but not meeting again until January, and even then we'd have to massage that because that's Dr. King weekend. So would we then want to consider starting in September and going every other month? We'd meet in September and then November, and then we'd adjust to January.
Yeah, I like that.
Terrific.
Hi. It sounds good. So,
welcome, Madam President.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
So, if it pleases the board, then we will go ahead. The LERIC office and I will create, we'll propose a schedule, taking into account your comments. Certainly, looking at September, November, modified date in January, and then we'll come back with that at the next meeting so that we can have it for approval at that point.
So may I ask a question? Just for clarification here, could you check with your staff, to because I think it'd be good to hear from them as well, especially from Ms. Ocampo, if that would work out well, given the reports that are required to be filled out and the board approvals that that would require.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, that would be one of the things that we do, going to delineate what due dates we have, how far in advance we need to bring items for approval, so on and so forth. So we'll next time we come back, we'll bring that plan so that we are sure to catch all deadlines that we may have.
Thank you.
Where were we?
So we are at
4.2?
We're at 4.2. That's next.
Got it. Are they walking in? No. Are they here?
Actually,
they're here. Yes. Got it. See, Brandon Harris from BTD will present the LERIC audit plan.
Brandon Harrison.
Sorry, I left out a few letters.
Oh, it's okay. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. My name is Brandon Harrison. I'm a partner of Gavin Attorney Bay. I was contacted by Lindsay a couple months ago, probably late last year, and we went out to bid, and we closed on the audit engagement. There was two pieces. There was the agreed upon procedures. There was also a financial statement piece. We were the ones that were awarded the financial statement piece. But in the last few months, Lindsay has reached out to me and communicated with me that it was the board's desire to have an audit and be forthcoming with the state's plan to look at the program itself. And we decided that we needed to adjust the audit a little bit and have an agreed upon procedures audit to look at enrollment counts for individual districts and individual members. I think you can provide the engagement letter.
Yes.
Page 24, sorry. If you turn back to page 4 of that engagement letter, you'll see that the Schedule A, it kind of lays out a pretty simple plan for the actual agreed upon procedures audit. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at each individual member district, and we'll go in and test enrollment counts, see that the data is correct, accurate, and it's complete. That's going to be the first step. We'll do sampling of the individual sites, individual classes. And then we also, as number 2 says, is we're going to review the enrollment process at each individual member district. The reason why we want to do that is we want to see the consistencies or the inconsistencies within the members, to verify to see if there's any consistencies, any efficiencies or inefficiencies that we need to communicate with management and the board. The last thing is we want to also review the enrollment validation process. So basically we want to look at each individual member district to see how they actually validate the information that they provide to the LERIC as well. So we want to go through each individual process, and what we're going to do is we're going to look at each individual separately. I'm going to have a team out here where there's different individuals are going to go to the sites. One individual may go to two sites, but we want to make sure that it's completely independent eyes from each individual member district to verify to see what the consistencies actually are within the individual districts. Speaking to management, one of the things that we do kind of want to discuss is this engagement letter, an agreed upon procedures is we agree upon the procedures that I'm going to perform. Am I firm is going to perform. So the input from management, the input from board is very crucial so we all understand the responsibilities that we have within this engagement. One of the, and number one, when we say test enrollment counts at each individual member districts, one of the things that we felt that is a very important thing to communicate is within the community college system. So testing the enrollment counts at the community college is going to be much different than testing them at the other individual member districts. So that kind of adjusts the scope of the audit a little bit. So I don't know how the formula the board wants and management wants to do the allocations based off the enrollment count. If the allocation to the community college is not going to be based off specific enrollment and numbers, then is this going to be part of the scope of the engagement? So these are the things that we want to communicate and we want to agree upon prior to. If I didn't explain that correctly, I'm sorry. But the LARIC gets a dollar amount, gets the allocation off the top. So what we want to do is we want to know if the board's desire is for us to go to each individual member, including the community college, to look at that enrollment count, which is much different from the community college standpoint than it is from the other member districts. So that's going to be kind of a piece that we have to work with management and the board to see how, if the allocation for the community college is not going to be based off enrollment, should they be included in the testing of the enrollment count, or how do we proceed with that? So that would be kind of the steps that we want to discuss.
So we have an FTES-like calculation as well. And actually, you would be coming to the district office to get that information, so you only have to go to one source. And it's positive attendance now, but that probably is going to change the way things are going. So I don't think it's going to be that much different than what you would experience with our K-12 colleagues.
And right now we are just we're having you do the work in terms of verifying enrollment, but we have not made any decisions about funding and allocation and any of that stuff. So the role is to verify the numbers and look at that stuff, but for every district.
Yeah, so Logan, thank you very much for presenting. And so I guess, I don't know if it's a question for you or maybe LARIC staff or all of us. So in terms of looking at the enrollment, pulling those numbers from a data system, we have three districts that have a common system. LAUSD has a different system. Community College has a different system. When we report to the state, it gets reported through TE, which is the common system for the five. And ultimately, when we report to the state, those are sort of the official numbers when we're talking about LARIC anyway, right? Realizing we have other grants and funding sources. So I'm wondering, does it make sense to look at, when we look at enrollment numbers, are we looking at TE since that's the common system, or are we looking at five or three or however many different systems?
Our first step when we discuss with management is we are going to go out to the individual member district and say, how do you validate your enrollment counts to LARIC? Whichever system they say is their system that they use, that's what we're going to use and base our test on, because that's the information that LARIC uses to report to the state. If it starts with TE or if it's the other system, we will start to say, how do you substantiate this attendance? So whatever they report to LARIC, we're going to start from there. Then we can go back and to see whatever system they have to see if it agrees with what you have in TE, which if it doesn't agree, then those are the steps that we anticipate. But we will go to see whatever they substantiate that they provide LARIC as their enrollment count.
Thank you.
So does this will respond to the state questions, right? Item number 32 or 33, that's part of what... So that this is designed specifically to respond to that need. I mean, we can use it for other purposes, but this will be an answer to the state that we have independently had verified enrollment reports that are being submitted to the state. Is that correct?
Yes, partially that would be the case. Right. However, if you'll recall, the original approach was to create a set of protocols which have not been created yet. So as of April, I believe our request community colleges serving as the fiscal agent for this particular transaction. And my understanding is that there is a likelihood that this item is going to be included in the April board for approval. And so as of that point, then we'll be able to engage with the company, which is Vasquez and company, to engage on the development of the protocols. Once the protocols are developed, then the other firm, which Brandon represents, will conduct the fiscal audit.
So the first one is enrollment. Then we do the protocol with the other company.
Correct.
Then we come back and do a fiscal.
Correct.
So that's my simplified version.
Yes, it is. I can speak on it a little bit. So when we had the first interest conference with Larry to propose on the engagement, all the firms that were welcome there, we communicated to Larry that the firm that does the protocols can't be the firm that does the financial statements. So basically, you'd be auditing your own procedures. So we couldn't be that, so we had to separate those two audits. So when we took over the financial statement portion of the audit, when we were awarded the financial statement portion of the audit, this was communicated to us that Laird needed this as well. Mm-hmm. So we have extended this portion as well. So we would come back and do the financial statement afterwards. But this was to address the need that is
first need of enrollment.
But we can't do the financial statement audit before you do the protocols and adopt those, because then there's nothing we can actually do the audit on.
Okay. Thank you. Any other?
Yeah, just wanted to add that the current audit that we are we're discussing is in response to the board's request to verify the count. Right, this happened at the last board meeting to verify the counts for each one of the districts. That addresses item 32, as I'm reminded, and enrollment plus a new formula, right? Because a new formula would be based on enrollment or might be based on enrollment, and so it is critical to have accurate enrollment counts.
Right, and so this gets the state monkey off of our back, which is one of the goals here, as far as that audit was concerned.
This would be the first step
right.
in doing that, absolutely.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Thank you. So, this was information. Is there any discussion? You have something else? Sorry.
No, I don't. Thank you all. Do you have any more questions?
Were you expecting us? What questions should we be asking?
Do we need a formal motion to engage VTD in this effort, or is it? We've already done that, right?
Yes.
Do you need any action from us? I think this is good. It's great to see you, Brandon. It was very helpful. We now know what you're going to do, so go forth and multiply.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. The whole idea for doing this was to allow you the opportunity to ask questions specifically
right.
as to what was going to be happening as you get visited by Brandon's staff in the next few weeks.
Anybody else?
I just wanted to ask a quick question. In regards to the timeline, it says effective or approximately April 15th. We plan to begin our procedures on approximately April 15th.
So we wanted to get any guidance that the board has first. Once it comes to concurrence on there, we'll finalize the engagement letter as soon as this is over. I'm assuming that. We'll get that forwarded over to us, and then yes, that's next week. We're going to reach out to each individual member district, start getting the information, start setting up dates and site visits, so we can come out here. So yes, it would be pretty soon, because the management communicated to me that this is time of the essence.
Just for information's sake, Montebello Unified is starting their spring break.
I did know that, so I do have 2 weeks, a couple weeks, and I have weeks planned. So I can stagger that a little bit to see where the spring breaks are going to be. So I will probably communicate with you all the following week.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we are now at the board member sections. board member report section. But anybody have something? Or are we trying to move this meeting along to the next part? No pressure. Now that I just set you up.
That was a little loaded.
Was it?
No, not anymore.
Emilio?
No, I don't.
Dr. Miller?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
Okay, great. How come that never works with my kids? Okay, next item is an action item. Lancey, you want to let us know about the CFAD?
Yes, absolutely. This is the last meeting, board meeting that we'll be having before the CFAD is due. And as you all know, the CFAD is what authorizes the state, or what enables the state to distribute funding. Generally speaking, the question on the CFAD is how will funds be distributed, who gets how much, and then basically we have already answered this question. If you go to page number 30 of your handout, this is the allocation that everybody received last year, plus the COLA amount distributed proportionately, and the new amount or the total allocation that we shared with you on March 15th, it's indicated in there. So those amounts have already been entered into the state NOVA system, and those will be the amounts that each one of your districts will receive. So that's on page 29 of the handout as well. You know, we just want to show that, you know, the amounts match or the same amounts. And if we have your approval to proceed, then we'll reach out to each one of the member districts for certification, and then that will complete the LEREC certification to the state.
Motion.
Motion. So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Okay.
Thank you.
Take this last part. Consent agenda. So we have two items on the consent agenda. Both of them are capital outlay. One is for Burbank Unified, and one is for Montebello Unified. Do you want to move any of this, either of these items to discussion?
Yeah, move approval of the Burbank one. We'll start with Burbank first, I guess.
So.
Is that an action item, right?
It says.
So consent, usually they're approved in a
together.
Consent. Oh, then let's talk. I'd like to hear both the Burbank and Montebello chat about this briefly.
Okay.
So for Burbank, this is expenditures. The first part of the expenditures are related to preparing for the LBN program. Right now, Burbank USD is in the queue, and it is number 9 for approval with the Board of Vocational Nurses and Psychiatric Assistants. It requires 2 classrooms. One is an instructional room, and one would be a skills lab. It's almost like a clinical hospital setting. And so the expenditures here are for that preparation for those 2 modulars. And then the other cost was for the new lighting. We were experiencing growing costs for utilities. Lights were being left on the weekends, and so this new lighting will provide not only better lighting and the ability to dim the lighting with the 21st century classrooms, but also shut off lighting when there's no one in the room to reduce utility costs.
Any questions? Comments?
Yeah, the project's fine. So the CAEP funds, is that a separate pot of money, or
That's our adult ed money.
That's our adult ed money.
That's the new name. You know,
okay,
they changed it six times.
California Adult Education Program, right?
Yeah.
So, and maybe I'm just not remembering, but has this board ever entertained individual capital outlay allocations to member institutions?
It's required as part of the California Adult Ed project for us to...
So is it coming out of Burbank's...
Burbank's allocation. Yeah.
All good. Thank you.
Montebello, you want to explain yours or describe yours?
Okay, so Montebello Unified, we went over with all stakeholders, physical, maintenance operations, administration, stakeholders, ASB, students, and so forth. So we met and we did a walkthrough several times throughout the year. And the main ones that came up were the following that are on the, that's listed on the capital outlay budget. For example, the repair of asphalt in the parking areas due to severe structural damage. This is a parking structure, parking area where adult students enter. The students also, their children, and childcare classes there. And so it's been a real detriment to the parking lot. So we did a walkthrough and basically we're requesting different bids. And this is one of the bids that we received in regards to that. And that was the best bid and DSA firm and so forth. We also are, and as you notice, we focused on the two main sites. Other than the, we have four campuses and 18 offsites. We're focusing on this in regards to, in the future, if we are going to downsize the need in our structures. We have a digital marquee and an electronic gate for safety. This, we are connected with the adult, Montebello Adult School is connected to Montebello High School and also adjacent to a child care center. So we are requesting that. These are also, we made bids and we met on several occasions. We had a classroom collapse and it is uninhabitable per hazmat. So for to demolish it, this is the cost plus to replace that portable for an ESL classroom. That is the concept. We do not have any eating areas for the students other than two benches and a couple of tables. We are adjacent to, we're right off of 21st Street. This is Montebello Adult, and they are right behind residential area. And a lot of the residents there are complaining about just the way they're situated. They're standing, they're not able to sit, so this is the cost. The repair for the asphalt at Ford Park, areas of pavement. We're trying to allow for more parking because we do have a big focus on that. New restroom and demo for main student restrooms that needed to be replaced. Demolition and removal of four bungalows that are needed to destroy and relocate the containers that we have our supplies in. A digital marquee for Ford Park, that's our only standalone adult school site, and then flooring for 11 bungalows and lining fixtures. That is the cost for
that. Okay, great. Can I have a goal?
Yeah, just one question. Maybe it's for LERIC staff, I don't know. I'm not trying to open up a can of worms or anything. I just want to make sure I'm clear on what it is we're actually voting on.
Right.
Because I don't have a problem with any of the expenditures. I'm just wondering, though, like, for certain things, I know, you know, there's bond dollars, there's all kinds of other funding sources out there. Let's just say, for example, you know, if LA comes says, hey, we're going to do a capital outlay on this and this, is there any oversight that we're responsible for in terms of this? You know what I'm saying? Like we're cool with it. Like, absolutely, it's going to support the adult ed program. But is there any monitoring or, you know what I mean, lessons learned, just trying to make sure we're clear on what it is we're approving, and then if there is any accountability or follow-up we need to worry about?
Yes. trying to measure my words. I wish I had a more black and white answer for you. The state has changed its procedures over the course of the last couple of years on how to address capital outlay. Originally, the state had indicated that we needed to report to them any capital outlay that any of the member districts were to do. Subsequently, one of the districts made a request for capital outlay. We report to the state. The state replied back to us indicating the state doesn't approve this request, but we do ask that you send us an informational email in case we have questions. If you have run these capital improvements by your consortium members and they are in agreement and they are solely for the benefit of adult education, of the adult education center program areas, then I would save the minutes of that meeting and make sure you post this in your 18-19 budget and work plans as it connects to the 18-19 annual plan strategies. If those things are completed, then you can move forward. Those are the instructions that the state has given us, and that's all we have to go by.
Yes, Dr.
So it sounds like someone that doesn't either have enough to do or is overthinking their job, but that being said, I don't have a problem with quote unquote approving what my colleagues are doing because I trust that what they're doing is absolutely in line with what their needs are. What I tripped over a little bit in terms of what you said is that we have to identify it as part of our budget, but it's really already part of the funding that we've approved. That was my earlier question, that we allocate to each district their amount of money. How they spend it is up to them. We're just basically saying, okay, we agree with you, but I don't know how we separate that out on our budget unless we report the budget in two ways, operations and capital outlay by district.
Yeah. In essence, what we understand is that each district reports capital outlay, the 6,000 line, right? And so that gets rolled in into a LEREC 6,000 line. And I think that that's basically what the state would like for the board to do, to be aware as to what those capital investments are. I believe that in the early days of AEBG, a comment was made, most of these funding should be used for the benefit of students, and they just wanted to make sure that nobody was building a 10-story building with, some of these funding.
So I guess as long as the CFAD budget that we just approved aligns with the individual college or districts and their reports, I guess we're fine.
Yes.
I think the benefit to the board report is where any one of our districts that are submitting this are indicating what the money will be used for and ensuring that it is going to be used for adult ed so that we're basically trusting that that's what's happening.
So with all this said, I move approval of the consent item. Item number
Second. Seven.
We already had discussion, right? That's what we have. Okay, good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're good to go?
Great. Thank you.
Oh, good. I think it says we take a break, and I just drove a long way. So, what time is it? Can we take a 5-minute break?
Yes.
That'll be great. Okay. 1:52. I still need to use my fingers.